Welcome back to Talk That Talk. This is Triple T. I'm your host, Kareem Bailey Smith, Coach KB. Today I got a guest with me who is a professional athlete. I am not a rapper, but those was bars right there. Hold on. All right, man. My guy over here, I met you maybe 2018.
Yeah, 2018.
So that was about right when I got out of college. It's been a while. We reconnect recently on social media, but I saw he's been doing some good things, so I had to invite him on the show so he could talk about his journey as a professional athlete now. So welcome, my guy Mo. Hello, you want to introduce yourself, man?
Yes, sir. What's going on, everybody? I'm Maurice. Go by Mo. Like you said, professional athlete. Play for the Oregon Lightning in the AF1. It's an arena football league. And, you know, I'm just getting things going right now. Just, you know, taking off.
All right, man. So arena football, for those that don't know, is indoor football. You're not just playing in a stadium. You're playing in an enclosed dome court. Yeah. The field's smaller, right?
For sure.
So you want to give us some rundown of some of the differences between indoor arena football and American standard, whatever you want to call football?
Got you. So imagine like playing inside of a hockey rink, right? So the field is about 50 yards long, maybe 28, 29 yards wide and width. And instead of your traditional 11 on 11, it's 8 on 8. You know, so you got 8 people on the field. It's really small. You know, you're playing with walls, you know, barricades. That's your out of bounds right there. So, you know, you're smacking up against those walls. It's super exciting. Like, you know, it's a good time. You go in there, watch those games, have some beers, you know. You know, it's a good time, you know, for the spectators. It's really entertaining.
You lost me at smacking them walls. Pause. Because I'm all set.
It's not easy.
Hey, it looks fun, but until that part. But I commend you, dog, for even making it that far. Like, I had a talk on my last episode about not a lot of people make it that far to the professional level. If we want to go back, like, where did you begin? What was the origin? How did you get back into football or sports from you know, when you was a Pop Warner youth? Did you play back then?
Yeah, so it really started in like the third grade for me. That's when I first seen football. To be real, I really liked basketball at first. Okay. I was a hooper at first, but then I moved to Milton, Mass, and I seen everybody playing like kill the man with the ball and stuff. So, bro, I just fell in love with it. I fell in love with it there. Then I signed up in the fourth grade, Pop Warner, Milton Broncos, and at the time I was a running back, right? And I was just, you know, I just played since. You know, I fell in love with it. I want to keep going with it. And yeah, it's just kind of like been my passion, like my thing since.
Did anyone in your family play football, or they were all hoopers as well?
So not many of my family members played football. My older brother was an athlete. You know, he was more of a baseball player.
Okay.
But, you know, he dibbled and dabbled. You know, he played youth for a couple of years. But his main thing was baseball, for real.
Okay. So you're coming from, you said you moved to Milton. Where'd you come from?
I moved around a lot growing up. Moved around a lot growing up, but I moved from the North Shore. Yeah, from the North Shore. I went, you know, first, second grade, I moved from the North Shore. Then I came out here, was living in Milton from, you know, probably elementary to, you know, like middle of high school. And then I was playing football there, finished at Randolph High, for those who don't know. Graduated there. Then as soon as out of high school, I went to Dean College.
Yep.
Yeah, I went to Dean for it was a JUCO at the time.
So JUCO, why did you choose to go JUCO? Was that a decision based off of, was it grades, or was it just under recruitment because you're at Randolph High? Like, not many people might know of the small schools, and it's public school, right? So
kind of both. If I'm being real, Randolph is a small school. It isn't super highly recruited, but I had a little grade situation too, and I also didn't know some of the things that I know now. So I went to Dean, which was, my plan was to go to a 2-year, and then I transferred from that 2-year and, you know, move forward wherever I had went to.
But so this is where I get into it for the audience, right? Yeah. So this is a learning point, because when I was in my college recruitment process, I did not pay attention to anything. I let my coaches, my mom, have those conversations with the coaches. I wasn't vocal and wasn't standing up for myself. So this is something I want you guys to listen to. What I was going to say is, how did you know even about junior college? Like, that was an option, because as a senior for myself, it was like, I thought college was just a thing we go to for 4 years. I didn't know there was a 2-year option, a community college thing going on. I didn't know that you can go post grad. Mm-hmm. I didn't know you can prep and reclass a year, things like that.
Me either.
How did you find out about your path? Like, was there someone that guided you along the way for that?
So I did have some help, but I'm first generation college. So a lot of things, you know, appreciate that, bro. So a lot of things I did kind of have to figure out my own, as far as like, you know, getting to the next level, like FAFSA, doing all that type of stuff. I had to, you know, kind of figure that out on my own. So I did have an English teacher. Shout out to Miss Burke. She was kind of like my advisor in a way. She was my English teacher, but she helped me out with a lot of things. But she also, you know, I don't think she truly known herself, you know, because she, you know, she wanted me to go to Dean and everything like that, which was a private school. It was a lot of money, you know what I'm saying? But So I just was kind of doing the research myself, to answer your question. Like, you know, I have peers, you know, I see what they got going on. And then, you know, I was just doing the research myself to figure it out.
Like, yeah. And that's a common theme. And a lot of my athletes recently have actually been asking me to do some outreach. So I need to make sure I'm stepping up my game and expanding my network and trying to create those opportunities. But let's go to your career at Dean. So you played football there?
Yeah. So I went to Dean straight out of high school. I had a full year there. I got injured. Maybe I sprained my ankle, high ankle sprain, maybe like the 8th or 9th game of the season. We had 11 games, so I couldn't finish my season there, you know, because I was hurt or whatever. But, you know, I rehabbed, got back to it. I was supposed to have a great spring, so I was going to go back for my second year. And that was the plan, right? I was having a great spring. I was in shape. I was ready. But I couldn't really – the finances. So I couldn't go back to Dean for my second year, which kind of put me in a tough spot. You know what I'm saying? So it's 2017 now. I'm trying to figure things out. I had to take 2 years off, unfortunately, bro. So I took 2 years off. You know, I'm working every day. You know, I'm not really into the football groove right now. I'm just working, just trying to figure things out. Always had the love and niche for it. Always wanted to get back. That was the plan. But I remember this day like it was yesterday, bro. I'm working at FedEx. I'm moving packages every single day, back hurting. I'm like 20 years old, back hurting crazy. I'm like, nah, this can't be it. I got to get back into what I love. You know what I'm saying? So it's 2019. It's in the spring. So I joined, I attend Mass Associate for that spring and got eligible. Everything right. Right.
Yep, and they don't have a football team, right?
They didn't have a football team.
Yeah, straight footed, get your grades right.
Just academics. Which if I knew that, right, out of high school, I would've went to Mass Associate, got everything right. Then for my first year of football, you know, went somewhere with my film, went somewhere great, you know, that would've been the plan, instead of going to Dean, you know, having to take out a loan and do all that type of stuff. Right. So, back to the story, I was at Soyet. They have a transfer program to Bridgewater State.
Okay.
And then that was the plan, right? I'm gonna go to Soyet for a semester, transfer to Bridgewater State in the fall, and then play there. And that's what I did, bro. That was my plan at that moment.
And so now at Bridgewater State, so that's D3 football.
Yes, sir.
And was that like a step up? Did you feel like there was a difference between D3 and the JUCO ball after playing that first year at Dean?
Yeah. So JUCO, you could be with athletes all around the country. You know, there's talent everywhere. You'd be with a bunch of talented people, you know, you pick up on different things. You know, you got receivers from Florida, you got DBs from Cali, you know, anything, you know how it is. And then, so you'd be around, you're around a lot of talent. Maybe the structure is a little different in a JUCO program.
Yep.
You know, it's a 2-year school. It's a 2-year, you know, type of thing, ordeal. But so D3 is more, you know, you get that more college vibe. It's a little more structure. There's more, you know, there's a little bit more organization. There's more, probably more funding, you know, things like that, you know. So that was probably a difference in that aspect.
I'm laughing because that's the first time I heard anyone reference D3 and funding in a positive light.
Bridgewater State, Bridgewater State definitely had their money.
For sure. No, they took care of you guys, and they always seem to have a good program. So it shows that where you put the money is where you get the results, right?
For sure.
And that's on a whole different level. Now, as far as like athletes out there, young athletes, you're in high school. Mo said something that I don't want to just skim over. He said if he could have went back, maybe he would have just went to Massasoit first to focus on the grades instead of just saying, oh, I need to play ball right now, and go and put yourself in a situation that might actually hinder you in the past. But you had overcome all that. So you had, what, 3 years at Bridgewater?
So I only played one full season at Bridgewater.
Okay.
I made it a full season, no injuries. Had a good season. I believe I was probably top two or three in receiving touchdowns. And I was, I was kind of like a second string at the time, So I had a pretty good season. And then COVID happened, right, in 2020. So 2020, COVID happened. 2021, still dealing with COVID. So in that moment, I'm trying to figure things out. We're doing Zoom classes and everything. And I'm more of an in-person guy. I need to be in a classroom setting. I need to see my teacher. I need to hear my, you know what I'm saying? And so I'm just going through a lot at that time, bro. And then, at that moment, I just was like, I'm going to deem myself a free agent, right? And I deem myself a free agent. And then I kind of just doing the research, right? Trying to figure out ways of how I can continue to play football, kind of. And then, I figured it out like that.
All right, man. So you just took a bet on yourself and it paid out. So I met you, and that was probably, we said 2018 early. So that was during that first hiatus when you had took that time off from school.
Yes, sir.
And you weren't trying to play ball at anything. And that was before the Massasoit.
Mm-hmm.
So when I met you, I just thought you were versatile. I thought, I know you just mentioned receiver. I don't think we talked much about what you do right now and the position you're playing in. So I'd like to get on that and talk a little bit about special teams and all the little auxiliary mm-hmm. roles you can have on a football team. But you were just able to do whatever, you know what I mean? Like, you're just athletic, always there, fast.
Appreciate that. I try.
It's like, you weren't always the tallest, you weren't the biggest dude, but you were impactful every time you was on the field. So it was like, especially being someone who was on the defense trying to know what the heck is going on the other side, it was nice to see someone who's young at the time mm-hmm. to come up. And the fact that you're doing it now at a high level, it proves my point, that you have something that I can respect and see out there that I think that more athletes should have that skill. Mm-hmm. And it's not something that's just, it's not like it's a talent thing. It's just something that you do. And it's like, you just do everything and you do it well to your best ability as fast as you can. And you just try to be as useful as possible.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that's real. I appreciate that, bro.
So
yeah.
Let's move on though to take a look and at life as a professional athlete now. So this is arena football. Took a gamble on yourself, free agent, right? Professional athlete. You guess, how does that conversation go between listing yourself as a free agent and actually signing to a team? Like, did you have an agent? Did you just go in there and team started reaching out to you? Did you get drafted that year?
Yeah. So I took the tough route, bro. I just, like I said, I deemed myself as a free agent. I did the research. Actually, playing semi-pro, you got to network a little bit. You got to have some type of connections. Playing semi-pro did help me. I had some connections, some people who made it to that realm of football, of being a professional and playing indoor football and stuff. So that kind of helped me, reaching out to to some of the, the help I had, and seeing if they could do anything for me and connect me to coaches and just things like that, which people did, and that did help me. So, that kind of just went like that, bro.
Okay. And then, so you said right now you're in Oregon?
Yeah, so I play for the Oregon Lightning. Yep. I'm in my third year. So my first year, I got connected to a team which was also in Oregon called the Oregon Storm, which was more like a developmental type of ordeal, right? They want to see what you got. You try and, you play there. It was called the AWFC, American West Football Conference. And so I was playing in that league out in Oregon, playing for the Oregon Storm. And first year, made Rookie of the Year honors, which kind of had a great season. We made it to the championship. Unfortunately, we lost. But that kind of propelled me to get a little bit of notoriety from some of these other leagues and, better leagues. And, and that's kind of how I got there.
So just climbing the ladder, going out there and living off your merit. That's commendable, man. And more kudos to you for climbing up and actually proving your worth, man. Because as someone who knows what it's like to, feel like you're overlooked, but I noticed that it was all on me a lot of mm-hmm. the times, where I might have not have been in a place where I had the most resources, but I had enough where if I put in more effort all the time, I could have gotten even further than what I even got a chance to even taste. You know what I mean? So the fact that you're still putting in that effort, I saw you in the gym
trying.
You just posted something, you was in the gym. So how does that look as far as preparation and preparing, making sure that you're always able to just continue to go, even though, how old are you now?
So I'll be 28 in December.
Okay, 28, still yeah. firing, still ready yeah. to play. How do you keep yourself up to speed with the game as it's getting faster? You know, younger guys are coming in that mm-hmm. are bigger, you know, doing exactly, the same yeah. same thing that we're doing, but trying to just maintain and stay ahead of the curve.
So what I try and do when I'm home, you know, the off-season things, I try and keep myself, like, surrounded by football. You know, even if I'm home, I'm watching videos, I'm watching things to try and get better. You know, I lift with my boy maybe 3 or 4 times, 5 times out of the week. I play in flag football. I go to a, you know, this workout. It's called M2 Academy. It's like a receiver thing. Well, it's a quarterback thing, right? But you're catching 60, 70, 80 passes a day. So it's like, that's things I do. And that's weekly. So like that's things I do every single week. And just to try and stay on top of my craft. I'm really big on like stay on top of your craft and just, you know, toning up and just making sure you're on point, you know, stay ready so you don't have to get ready like they always say. So that's kind of what I do. I play flag football when I'm home, you know, I play basketball, yep. you know, just trying to stay active and, you know, so you're right on your toes and things like that.
So how long is the season? You said it's about 11 games.
Arena season, you play 11 games.
Okay. And yeah. that's from when, like during the summer months or not the summer, cause you hear it now, but yeah. like after the summer, you probably go like during the fall or just like later hockey time because you say you play indoor. So yeah. explain how that works a little bit as far yeah. as the season and then your like situation from being from Massachusetts during that season. You have how you get into Oregon? Are they setting you up in some? Mm-hmm. You have to, you know, if you can elaborate a little bit more on that.
I got you. So getting signed, right? You will book your own flight. You'll get your own flight there. And my bad, bro. Can you repeat the question?
Nah, it was a lot to throw. I'm trying to phrase this into one yeah. question as far as like, how does the logistics work for you like during the season? So as far as like, you know, if it's April to November, they fly me out. I'm staying in this spot and this is what it is. But you said you get your flight out there and then do they have to like set you up with accommodations or mm-hmm. are you staying with the team? How's that work?
So the season is so you'll leave in February season. It's during the spring to maybe like beginning of the summer, midsummer, right? And then so camps in that first set of spring, you know, first 2 weeks is camp. And then, you know, you got your full season, get back in like June-ish. Depending on your playoff situation, you may make playoffs. You could be, you know, you could be there longer into the summer. But you'll get your flight. They accommodate housing, you know, food, everything like that. So you'll have your own, like your gym, you'll have where you'll be working out at. That's situated. Housing is situated. Your food situation is situated. You get sponsors, there's sponsor deals, you know, in the community that you're, you know, that you may be staying in. So I was staying in Redmond, Oregon, which is like Central Oregon. Beautiful, bro. Like waterfalls. You see mountains, you wake up and see mountains, you know, that's something you don't see every day living in Mass, you know, living in the city. Yeah. So, you just get to be a part of that nature and, you know, see different things and it's kind of beautiful. And, I was staying on, like, we had 2 ranch complexes. Nice, bro. And, the whole team was there. So you had your own rooms and stuff, but you know, you're living with your whole team. So I felt like that was pretty smart. And you know, from our coach, right. Cause you build that brotherhood, you build that bond with your players. I mean, with your teammates and stuff like that. And you guys get real close, which makes it easier for you to play, you know, play for one another. So yeah, 2 beautiful ranches, bro. You had a little farm like down the street, you know, it was nice.
Man, that sounds nice, man. I haven't been out there to Oregon or the West Coast. I went to Cali once. Mm-hmm. That was LA. That's not Northern Cal. I did go to San Francisco mini camp, but I literally didn't leave the facility except for the airport. So I didn't see nothing out there. Leave, huh? You know what I mean? Yeah. We was just there and I was only there for a few days, you know what I mean? So I was just locked in trying to focus while I'm here, let me at least give this 100%. What I was doing before that, that's a different story, you know what I mean? But once they got me out there, it was just like, all right, this is what I'm doing, focus, locked in. I barely even left the locker room or the hotel. I was back and forth and in the team meeting rooms on the field. That was it. Dining hall was in the locker room, you know? Like I didn't have to go looking for food. I didn't have to go, I just was trying to just be in the flow.
Everything was in one place. Just trying
to, you know, give myself the best chance that I have. But the fact that they set you up, that sounds like it's a ideal situation. Especially for someone who's out there and is trying to, you know, perfect your craft, like you said, during the off season and you invest in that time yourself, mm-hmm. at least it's good to know that they invest in you. My personal experience with arena football. I did try out when I first got out of school. There was, I forget what the local teams were at the time that just were starting up, a couple of them, and it wasn't really over here on the East Coast, at least up in Massachusetts, right?
Yeah.
Now Massachusetts does have a few teams, and I don't know what leagues they play in or whatever, but.
Yeah, it's the Mass Pirates. They play in the IFL.
IFL? Yeah. Is that one of the top leagues?
Yeah, that's the top okay. tier. So the arena, so how arena goes, it's like, there is tiers, kind of like I was explaining earlier. So IFL, AF1.
Yeah.
You would say that's tier one football. Then tier one professional football, arena football. Then there's NAL, which is the National Arena League. That's tier two, great football, competitive, you know what I'm saying? But if you super great football, but if you want to play in the highest level of arena football, you would probably aim for maybe the IFL or the AF1.
Okay.
Which, I mean, IFL, they're taking high level D1 guys, you know, former NFL bounce backs, you know, same things like that. So, you know, same thing with my league, AF1, same ordeal.
And is there like collaboration between the leagues, or are they all just like their own separate entity? Like once you're in one, can you know, like the coaches know you obviously in a rotation for whatever league, or is it like, nah, if you're this player, that's all they looking at you for?
So if you're in the NAL, you can kind of, you know, as far as getting to IFL or AF1, you can go to either league, you know. IFL and AF1, it's competitive. It's like a competitive league. So it's not too many times you'll be able to, you know, go from the AF1 to the IFL and back to the AF, you know. It's kind of like a little bit of competition there.
I got you. Just like everything in sports, right? Exactly. There's friendly competition even at the business side. All right. I just wanted to just have one more take before we jump into our segment called This or That I talked to you about earlier. I'll have you choosing between some of your scenarios. Just wanted to talk about like your future. So as far as like what you see yourself doing. So I know you were playing, you're playing for the Oregon Lightning.
Yeah, currently. Yeah.
And hold on. Backtrack. This man just won an award actually, right? You just posted that. That was recent.
That was from my first year.
Oh, yeah, that was first year?
Yeah, that was from my first year. Yeah.
All right. I was about to say, I wanted to holler at you.
That was a special team. Yeah, special teams player of the year.
That was this year?
Oregon Lightning, yeah.
You just said that so modestly. Yeah, that was this year. So that was hold this year. On. Let's talk about that before I even get into what I was going to ask you. So special teams player of the year. How did that come about? Like, you on kickoff or you return guy? Like, you going out there hitting people?
So I'm on both. Okay. I'm hitting you and I'm on return. I'm a big return specialist. So, Yeah, that's kind of what was going on.
That's versatility I was talking about earlier, right? So walk me through, like, how did special teams play a role in your football, like, ascension, in a sense? Like, did you have to play special teams a lot at Dean? And even when you got to Bridgewater, were you, like, special teams for real? Do you have a lot of special teams tape? Or was it just, you know, you're an athlete, so once you got in the moment, they were like, Mo, come on, do it. And then you just balled out.
So I do want to say one thing before I answer that question. Playing on special teams is how you get on the field. You know what I'm saying? So if you're not on the field and you want to get on the field, being on kickoff, running down there, screaming down there to make a tackle, or if you're on kick return, you got to block somebody, you know, just excel at whatever position you're at, because, you know, that's how you get notified. That's how you get noticed. That's how you get on the field more and things like that. So for me, at Dean, they did have me back there at return. So I kind of started at Dean. I was returning in high school a little bit. So I kind of like kick return. I like punt return. I like to make plays, and you can make plays doing that. You know what I'm saying? So at Dean, they had me at return. I was doing some return at Bridgewater. And, you know, I just wanted to take that to my professional career. So, that's kind of how I went on it, bro.
Okay. So one thing that I wanted to say too about special teams, because I'm looking at the next thing I'm going to talk about, but special teams is like, they used to have this thing at UMass called the Elite 11, right? And this was just a chart. Special teams coach used to tally every single little point for every little thing. If you got ran past the 20-yard line on the kickoff, if you avoided a block, you got certain little points for anything. Anytime you got tackles, or if you even touched the ball on special teams, like, you got crazy points. For returners, it was like returns over the 20, over the 50, da da da. Like, that's how you got points, right? So it's super competitive. But as a freshman, seeing that was like, yo, I'm not really expecting to play much on defense, but I do not want to be on the sideline. I came from my school where I was on the field for everything. Coach had to pull me out.
Exactly.
And I would try to get back on. You know what I mean? So now in college, I have to try to get on. I was like, nah, I'm going to try to be out there as much as possible. So special teams is how I got on the field. You just heard Mo say it. Special teams, how you get on the field. If you don't like special teams, you like sitting on the sideline, period. Nah,
for real. For real. And
to a coach, sitting on the sideline, if you like sitting on the sideline, you don't want to go out there, especially unless you're like a quarterback or something. Like, that's an exception. But if you're a skilled player or you're like even a linebacker, running back and big body type, and you don't want to go down on special teams and run down the field and actually help your team like get the advantage, then why do I need you on the field? You're just out here being selfish. Yeah, like, I don't want you on my defense, personally. But all right, so let's get into this segment real quick. It's called This or That. So this is where I ask my guests here, and this is Mo again, for y'all that don't know. I'm trying. You probably heard that one a lot. That was kind of corny. But this or that, where I'm going to ask Mo a few questions, that give him a scenario. So you're going to pick either this or that and say which one and why. And then we're going to run from there. I'm going to keep it a little playful, but they're going to be kind of some serious questions, and some of them are going to make you think a little bit.
Let's get it.
So we got three. Ready?
Okay.
Lost it. All right. So, arena football, moving forward, do you see yourself having a long career in arena football, or if the UFL comes calling next year, but you can never go back to the arena football, would you take that call?
Taking that call. Taking that call, man.
So let me build on that. The reason I'm asking that question is because you would want to get, you would still play traditional football.
Yeah.
Because I have a affection with football. I like football. I love it. I play it. I coach it. Arena football, I didn't really enjoy it that much when I was trying it out.
Yeah, it's different. It's definitely different.
But I see people, one of my dogs from college, shout out TDG too. He's over there playing somewhere in Kansas, I believe, or Oklahoma or something down there.
Probably for Tulsa.
He's been playing since we got out of school. And he jumped in that league and he's been balling out ever since. He's like a 10-year veteran now, you know what I mean?
So it's he's good, trust me, he's good. Yeah, he's straight. He's situated
wherever he's at, he's situated
but for sure.
The fact that, and he was the kick returner, he was the punt returner. That's how I even got my special teams touchdown, was because I was trying to go out there and block for TDG. And he gave me a you call.
No word.
And so the ball was just right there. I caught it. And then I just freaking ran
out of there.
Touchdown.
Right? Bro's a baller too. Bro's a baller too, for sure.
But it was just the fact that like the arena game was just so different. Receivers got a little, maybe that's why you like it. You got a little cheat code where y'all can run up against, advance to the line. And that, like as a DB, that was a lot of a challenge. But
it's called a high motion. You get like a eight yard head start.
8 yards, they're called on high motion. All right. So that would, you would choose to go to the UFL though, rather than staying in the arena football and having a long, luxurious career.
To the UFL. All
right. Even if without the guarantee of the long career.
To the UFL, man. I'm going to take that shot.
Shout out to Rock. And my mom tried to tell me when I was in middle school that we was related to him. Still haven't proved that on her athlete tree, but I see the resemblance, you know what I'm saying?
I see it a little bit. All
right, next question though. Would you go back to high school and make that decision that you said and go focus on your grades? There's nothing you can do about that part, right? But you would take that, go up to the point where you had to make that decision to either go to Dean and take that route and go ball, or would you make that to go to Massasoit and go to do your academics before you go to ball, wherever it be after that, and just go back and fix that one little switch that you mentioned earlier? Or would you rather have a D1 scholarship coming out of high school but never play on the field?
That's a good question. So I did have a D1 offer, actually. I had a couple, but I would go back to high school. I would go back to high school and fix that mistake. I would go back to high school, get my academics right, straight out of high school, go to a community, get my stuff right, super right, and see where I could go from there. Because, I mean, that matters for sure.
So go back, because you didn't say nothing about that earlier, man. You had some D1 offers. So let's talk about, like, what was the reason? Like, when I was asking about why you chose Dean, you were just like, yeah, some academic stuff. You didn't say that, you know, you was there. You said you was under recruit. It was a small school.
I was.
But where were you getting interest from?
So my head coach, he had brought us to a bunch of camps, when I was a senior, UMass, BC.
Okay.
Assumption, New Haven, a lot of camps, Bryant, just a lot of camps around like the New England area and stuff. So I wouldn't say an offer, but I mean, I had interest. I had a little interest from UMass. I had an offer from Assumption though. I had a full ride offer. So I went to their camp. It was a 1 day camp. And at the time, OC was Paul McGonigal. After that, literally like right after the camp, he came up to me after talking to my head coach and was like, how can you accept this full ride if you don't get this certain GPA? And I kind of was just like sitting there looking at him in shock, like, dang, I gotta buckle down, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I gotta get it right. But, you know, knucklehead, whatever the case may be, that's why I kind of say I would have went back, got everything right, perfect, and then, you know, went off from there.
Yeah, and there's plenty of stories though about people that were in that same situation, and mm-hmm. when met with that adversity, they decided to choose whatever it was. I mean, like, you know what, I'm gonna not pursue the ball and go do the school stuff, but then the school don't work out, and then they never get the ball.
They never get back.
And
to
then it's like the fact that you kept football in your life initially probably gave you a little bit more motivation, even though things might have seemed like it was going astray. You know.
That makes sense. I mean, that makes sense too.
And it's funny because every person that I talk to that was in a similar situation like that, it's always they was doing FedEx or UPS or they would do some kind of Amazon package delivery. And then all of a sudden they like, nah, I need that football back.
I'm telling you, that would do it to you.
For me, it was doing insulation, but it didn't get me back. It got me back coaching. You know what I mean?
But somewhere around the game though, at least.
I had too many injuries to go try to go play again, especially, you know, because we was playing together. I mm-hmm. think I got hurt that year too. It was just.
And you was balling before you got Eagles.
Whatever. But all right, last question for this or that. So we talked about you making that academic switch, this or that. Now we're going to go looking in the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
So would you rather be a coach in the Arena League or go be a back office personnel inside of either a high school or college athletic department to be around the sports?
That's a great question.
Do you have a plan for your future? You just balling out till the wheels fall off?
Well, no, I have a plan. I definitely want to coach and things like that, but I feel like, you know, your question was a good one. I think I'll be in that back office because I feel like maybe I could help more with like kids locally, you know, that I know, you know, because I that's what I want to do. So to kind of get into that, what I want to do, giving back, like when it's all said and done, I want to be an avenue for, you know, the kids, like for the East Coast kids, for local kids, for kids around my community and things like that. But I want to be that avenue because there's not many avenues for the youth out here right now. You know, you're one, you're a vessel, you know, there's not too many vessels to help prepare our youth, especially, you know, just with things they want to do, bro. And that's kind of what I want to do. I want to be a vessel for them, a vessel for the youth. I can help coach anything. I can mentor. I can put you under my, you know, just anything, you know what I'm saying? So that's kind of what I want to do.
Yeah. So that's kind of the reason why I even started this podcast, was just for the same purpose, to have people like you, people who have been in college in the professional level, multiple different sports. I had basketball, track athletes come on here already to come on and just say, this is what, you know, I'm trying to do. This is what the future looks like for me. This is where I came from. This is the things that you can do out there mm-hmm. that would actually help you get to where I'm at a little faster, or some things that I can do right now that can help you move you to where you want to be. You know what I mean? So I do think that, you know, you being in the back office is a good role, especially if you're trying to actually make differences and make change. One thing that I think that people like us overlook a lot of the times is just when there's an opportunity to be away from what you're doing, but make a larger impact, mm-hmm. it's harder to step away. You kind of want to always have to be in the light. And it's something as a coach that I deal with is trying not to be the coach who's always up there doing the reps and drills and stuff like that. I try to make sure I can at least demonstrate if mm-hmm. if need be, right? But not be the one all in, like, it's not about me out there. It's about the kids. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate you even saying that and even looking forward. And that leads us right into our final wrap up section that I asked everyone on, that's been on the show so far, is just like, what do you believe that the youth can get from sports? Like, what is it about sports that the youth should take away from it, rather than just out being out here playing a game, rather than just being out here competing? Like, what is it that they should really make sure that they're focusing on and taking away from the sports when it's all said and done?
You learn a lot of things. One of the main things I'll say is I would say perseverance, bro, not giving up. Being in difficult situations or having challenges and, you know, having to overcome them, you know, with football, anything, any sport, you know, losing a lot. You're down by a lot. You're thinking, you know, you're hopeless, right? And then you get a comeback victory or something, or, you know, you just learn things from that. So, like, for me, my story, just like, not, you know, always going, just staying consistent. That's another thing, staying consistent. And just putting the work in, you know what I'm saying? Believing in yourself, doubling down, betting on yourself. And you just got to keep going. So I would say, yeah, just perseverance, not giving up, believing in yourself, you know, staying on your toes, staying ready.
Yeah, man.
Keep going, you know.
So, yeah, and you're a true testament to that, right? Is just being out there and being your true, authentic self. And even if you had to sit there and say, you know what, this ain't working for me, or that ain't that, or I'm not this player, you know, like, even you went to Bridgewater, you said you went there for a year and was like, you know what, I'm getting out of here, because that wasn't your situation. And it paid off for you because you felt that, right? Mm-hmm. Not everybody can just do that. Not everybody might want to do that. You might be there for a different reason, but you have to understand yourself. And if you're willing to do something and go all in on it, then what's going to stop you from doing it, right?
For real.
So I appreciate you, man, coming out and talking to our listeners out here, man. Make sure you guys,
bro, I appreciate,
like,
you,
share, and subscribe. Go follow Mo.
Support
out there. You want to shout out yourself on any social media or anyone you want to give a shout out to?
Man, you go get me on the gram, Maurice.SU_. Yeah.
All right. Shout out.
Shout out my boy. Shout out, you know, shout out what he's doing, man. You know, this is good. I like what you're doing, bro. You know, this is definitely good for the youth. I appreciate you having me on here. You feel me? We have some good combos. I actually would like to, maybe if I could come back again, you know, elaborate on some things, bro.
So this is just going to be season one. I was talking with Justin, like, I told him it was going to be 5 episodes where I was planning. I think this is the 5th, but there's still some, like, things that I wanted to do. So maybe we try to set that up for this season. But then next season, I would love to have you come on, especially talking about, you know, you're actively playing, man. So some of the things that you would actually be going through, or even after your career, mm-hmm. when you get started, you know, come on here and shoot your talk, your talk, right?
Yeah.
And then see what it is that you can do to provide value to these kids, and just come out here. And if I could spread the word, I'm glad 100%. You do that, man.
And shout out my boy, Mr. Wolf, man. Mr. Lindy, my boy.
Yeah, Coach
Wolf. That's the, you know what I'm saying, getting us in the gym, man.
Yeah, I met him when we were coaching at Tenfold, and it was just more of a like I didn't know who he was at first, so I was just kind of like sitting back and watching, because my first year getting back into coaching football, period. So I was just sitting there watching, and then I was just like, you know what, and that he knows his football, but he does, the way that he teaches it to the kids is with so much passion. It was like, yo, I have to get back to that place where I actually love it, you know what I mean? So I had to go back on an internal mission and start finding that love for the game again. And it's been a crazy ride, and we getting started just now in the summer. So hopefully we have a lot of good athletes over there at Millsap. So hopefully you can catch us out if you're not flying all the way across the country before you leave and stuff.
Sure,
but
I love to.
We'll definitely have you back on here, but I appreciate you pulling up, man.
100%.
Appreciate you guys for tuning in. Yeah. This has been Talk That Talk. I'm Coach KB. I'm here with Maurice Ashley, Mo.
Yes, sir.
And we'll catch y'all next time. Peace.